Good afternoon, good morning, good day, depending on where you're listening from. Welcome to Profit and Beauty. Now, this show was created for salon owners who have decided to start running their salons like a business rather than a hustle. The focus of the show is to help salon owners understand the numbers behind their business so that they can grow and make extraordinary profits. Without this knowledge, it's really hard, if not impossible, for your salon to reach its true potential. My name is Desiree Anderson, and I have 19 years experience as a hairstylist and salon owner. I currently work as a certified public accountant, working mainly with salon owners and hairstylists. My background as a former stylist and salon owner gives me a much better understanding of what our industry professionals need and desire. So if you are a hairstylist or salon owner interested in running your salon like a business, then this show is for you. On the other hand, if you are a hairstylist or salon owner not interested in running your salon like a business, this show may or may not be for you. I just hope you keep listening and maybe something you hear in one of the episodes will make you decide to turn your craft from a hustle into a business that you can scale and grow. So sit back and enjoy this week's episode. On today's show, I'm going to answer a question I received from a hairstylist out of Atlanta, Georgia. Now, the question is related to the age-old question, booth rent versus commission. Now, here is what she wants to know. I currently work as a booth renter, but I am thinking about going to work at a commission salon. My concern is that I don't know if I feel comfortable giving up half of my money to the shop owner. I was wondering if it makes financial sense to make the move. So this is a question that a lot of booth renters and cosmetology school graduates ask, and there really is no black and white answer. Now, usually a booth renter will ask this question because they've probably been booth renting for a number of years, and they're finding that they're not making as much money as they thought they were going to make, or they're finding out that they're putting in a lot of time and effort and the money that's coming out on the other end doesn't seem to be worth it. So then they start thinking about, well, I should just go somewhere and work as a commissioned stylist. That way I don't have to worry about all the things that come along with being an actual booth renter. And as for cosmetology students, they ask this question because they're thinking that they don't want to give up half of their money, not realizing that coming out of cosmetology school, you have absolutely no experience. And therefore, you really do need to probably start out at a commission salon so you can at least build your experience and build your confidence before you make the decision as to whether or not you'd rather remain as a commission stylist or become a booth renter. So before we talk about which option is most financially advantageous, let's start by talking about the control factor. When I say control factor, I'm talking about who is in control of you, the worker, when you are a booth renter versus when you are a commission stylist. As a booth renter, you are in total control of what you do for the most part. Of course, you have to abide by the rules and regulations of the salon as a whole. But when it comes to what days you work, the hours you work, the types of services that you offer, and even in some cases, what you wear, even though some salons insist that everyone wears black, but ultimately you're in control of how you work. Versus working as a commission stylist, the salon, they're paying you, so they are in control of you during your working hours. They tell you what time to come in, they tell you what time you have to leave, they set your appointments for you, and you know they can chastise you one way or another. So depending on what type of person you are, that may determine which structure works best for you. Like myself, I'm a very independent-minded person. I hated commission because I didn't like being in control. I didn't like people controlling me. Now, of course, I made good money when I was working as a commission stylist, but I hated the control factor. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. So I was very willing to step back, make less money as a booth renter, so I can have that freedom. So know thyself before you start making these decisions. Now, even if you're the type of person that doesn't want to be controlled, sometimes you have to just say, okay, I may not like the fact that somebody is telling me what, when, and how, but I need it for right now. So look at what's in your best interest. And sometimes you just have to sit back, or you have to just say, okay, I'm going to be willing to abide by all of these rules and regulations so I can get what I want out of this, which could be experience in some cases, or it could be the fact that you just don't want to deal with the requirements of being an independent contractor. And you have to just sit there, abide by the rules and regulations with a smile on your face, and just keep it moving. So there's nothing wrong with that. So just know yourself. Know what you're trying to achieve, know what you can and cannot deal with, and go from there. Now, for people who are straight out of cosmetology school, you don't really know the answer to some of these questions because you've never booth rented before. But my advice to people who are coming straight out of cosmetology school is that you go somewhere and you start out as a commission stylist. And there are some salons that don't even hire people as stylists. Usually you start out as an assistant, and then you go from being an assistant to a junior stylist, and then from a junior stylist to a senior stylist. And to me, that's a great structure because you are learning so much and it's going to benefit you in the long run. Now, as a booth renter, there are certain things that you definitely need to be aware of. Now, number one, even though you're only renting space in a salon, you're still considered a business owner, and therefore you are held to the exact same compliance standards and compliance requirements as any other business owner. Now, in the eyes of the state and the IRS, you are considered a sole proprietor or a single member LLC. And you're an LLC only if you are actually registered with the state that you're in. You also need to carry your own liability insurance separate from the actual salon's insurance. You're required to pay your quarterly estimated taxes just like any other business. You're also required to pay something called self-employment tax. And I'm going to explain to you how self-employment tax falls into the whole equation. So in other words, the government treats you like a business. And that is why you should also treat your business like a business. So even as a booth renter, you are considered a business in the eyes of the government. Now, I've spoken to stylists that don't look at what they do as an actual business because they work out of a building that they themselves don't pay for, or some of them actually work from home. But as long as you're providing a service or selling a product and receiving some type of compensation, you're considered a business, and therefore you must follow all of the rules and requirements of any other business owner. Working out of your home doesn't give you a pass. You're still considered a business. Oh, and one more thing. For those of you that work as mobile stylists with the new salon app type services, what you do is also considered to be a business as well. So you have to also treat what you do as a business. So before I get into the side-by-side net income comparison between actual booth renters and commission stylists, here is a list of what a booth renter should have in place before they actually start their own business. So you should have a system that you use to maintain your books, and also something that you use to remind yourself to pay your estimated taxes every quarter. You need to purchase your own health insurance, your own liability and disability insurance. Now, as a booth renter, you have to have separate insurance from the actual salon. But more importantly, I shouldn't say more importantly, but in addition to that, having disability insurance is also important, because what if something should happen? What if you should get hurt or you get sick and you can't work? As a booth renter, as a booth renter, you don't have any type of, you don't have sick days, okay? So you are independent. You have your own business. So there's no such thing as having a sick day. If you have disability insurance and you happen to get sick for a long period of time, that insurance kicks in. So it's important to have short-term and also long-term disability if you are a booth renter. Also, remember, you're going to have to provide your own marketing tools and your supplies. You also want to make sure that you set your prices, and you also implement some type of system to collect payments for services that you provide to your clients. And one thing that's very important that lots of people overlook is not consulting an accountant. It's important to consult an accountant about how to set up your books. Also, where to draw the line between you and the salon so you maintain your independence. And also, you also want to make sure that your accountant lets you know what kind of tax forms you're required to fill out based on your independent status. Now, let me quickly go over some of the benefits and the drawbacks of booth renting. Now, some of the benefits are you get to set your own hours. Okay, well, that's great. No one's telling you what time to come in or what time to leave. You manage 100% of your business. So all that's on you. No one is telling you how to manage your business, what you should or shouldn't be doing. You also get to keep all of your income after you pay your booth rent for the month or for the week, depending upon what your structure is. You can use your own products. So therefore, because I know when I was a stylist, I was very, very particular about the types of products that I wanted to use. I also worked for a product company as an educator and a platform artist. So I wanted to use those products in the salon. As a commission stylist, you don't really get to choose what products you use. You just use what the salon provides you with. Another thing is you can run your business as you please, as long as you follow the terms of your contract. Now, what are some of the drawbacks of being an independent contractor or being a booth renter? Well, you have to maintain your books. Now, this isn't a problem if you're disciplined and you're willing to take the time to actually maintain your books. But from my experience working with stylists as an accountant, and also when I was working with stylists as a stylist myself, several booth renters didn't pay much attention to their books during the year, and they wind up losing out on so many deductions because of bad record keeping. Another drawback is you'll likely earn less money while you build your client base. So when you walk into a salon and you decide, okay, I want to be a booth renter, from the minute you start, the clock starts ticking. So at the end of the week, your booth rent is due regardless of whether or not you made any money. So as a booth renter, before you actually go to a salon and start working, when you create your budget or your cash flow statement, you want to make sure you make concessions for the fact that for the first couple of weeks or months, you might not even make enough money to pay your booth rent. So you want to make sure you have that money to pay that rent while you start to build your clientele. And then lastly, booth rent is due every week or month, regardless of whether or not you make any money. No excuses. You have to pay your booth rent. Whether you go on vacation, whether you're sick, it doesn't matter. Booth rent is due. Same scenario if you're renting an apartment. If you decided to go globetrotting for a whole month, you can't tell your landlord, oh, you know what, I wasn't here for the month, so I don't see why I have to pay my rent. No, you still have to pay your rent because you have rented the space and you've signed a contract. Same concept at a booth rental salon. If you're booth renting, you have to pay your rent regardless of whether or not you make any money. So now that we've discussed some of the benefits and the drawbacks of being a salon booth renter, let's now dive into the profitability of both commission versus booth rent. I'm going to use two fictitious characters, Linda and Mary, to set up this scenario. So both women are single and they both have two children. This year, they both made $60,000 in gross income. So as you can see, we're going to be comparing apples to apples. Linda is a booth renter and she pays $200 a week in rent, while Mary, the commission stylist, is on a 50% commission split with her employer. Because Linda is a booth renter, she's allowed to reduce her $60,000 gross income by her expenses for the year. Linda's expenses for that particular year totaled $19,125, which includes her booth rent of $10,400 and the rest in just other expenses. Now, this leaves her with a net income of $40,875. Now, keep in mind, we also have to subtract Linda's self-employment tax, which is 15.3% of her net income, for a total of $6,254. So now this leaves Linda with $34,621. Mary, the commission stylist, has a gross income after commission of $30,000. So remember, she made $60,000, but she's on a 50-50 split with her salon owner. So therefore, she takes home $30,000, which of course is half of the $60,000. Now, because Mary is a commission stylist, her employer pays half of her self-employment tax and Mary pays the other half. So which means she was left with $27,705. Now, that's one advantage of being an employee versus being an independent contractor. As an independent contractor, you're required to pay the entire 15.3% of the self-employment tax. Whereas if you're an employer, your employer has to pay half of that. And then you, the employee, you're only required to pay the other half. So you sort of save money in self-employment tax as an employee. Now, just to let you know, I didn't calculate and subtract the income tax from either Mary or Linda because all of the variables included when figuring out a person's income tax is quite vast, because depending upon what Mary's situation is versus what Linda's situation is, even though they have similar backgrounds, meaning they're both single mothers with two children, there could be other variables. One may own a house and therefore is paying mortgage interest and paying property taxes, and also may have a lot of charitable contributions. The other person may be living in an apartment, made no charitable contributions, and therefore their actual income tax is going to vary. So I didn't include that. I just included what was known. And what is known is what their income is, and also what their self-employment tax is going to be. So as you can see from this rough example, the booth renter made $6,916 more than the commission stylist. So that is I wouldn't say it's a significant amount, but it is quite a bit of a difference. So now it's up to you, the stylist, to determine whether or not making an additional $7,000 as a booth renter is worth all of the other requirements and compliances that you're going to have to follow. Some people may think that it's worth giving up the additional $7,000 just for the idea that all you have to do is just show up to work with your shears and that's it. You don't have to worry about buying products. You don't have to worry about buying tools. You don't have to worry about paying rent. You don't have to worry about advertising. You don't have to worry about paying your insurance. All of these things are a non-issue with a commission stylist, whereas with a booth rental stylist, you have to think about these things. There's certain things that you just have to do. It's a business. You've got to do what you have to do to keep it running. And even for continuing education, I think I only included about $1,500 for continuing education as an expense to Linda. And that may be on the high end or it may be on the low end. But if you are a commission stylist, usually the salon takes care of all of that. So there are advantages and disadvantages to both. It's just a matter of your personal preference and what you want to deal with. Do you mind dealing with what it takes to be a booth renter? Or are you the type of person that wants to be independent regardless of how much money you're making? You just prefer the fact that nobody is telling you what you need to do and when you need to do it. So these are some of the things that you need to keep in mind when you're making the decision as to whether or not you want to go for a booth rental or you want to go for commission. So it's all about less responsibility as a commission stylist, and as a booth renter, it could mean you just wanting to keep what you make as well as maintaining your freedom. But one thing I must say, and one thing that I have seen with the clients that I have worked with, my clients who are booth renters, usually the more money they make, the bigger the difference is between commission versus booth rent. So if they're making a lot of money, but financially, they're in a better position as a booth renter. If they're making less money, usually financially, they're in a better position as a commission stylist. So if you have a booth renter who's making about $100,000 a year, and then you have a commission stylist who is also making $100,000 a year, the booth renter tends to make a bit more, where now she may have to sit down and really make the decision as to whether or not she would like to either move to commission or remain a booth renter. Now, when I mentioned commission stylists not having to worry about insurance, I was actually talking about liability insurance and not health insurance, because I am very aware that not all salon owners provide health insurance for their stylists. And also, talking about tools, it really depends on what salon you work. There are some salons that provide all of the tools, usually except shears. And then there are some salons that do require you to bring your own tools, and that will be your shears, your blow dryer, and your flat iron. Depending upon the way your commission salon is structured will determine whether or not you're required to bring in your own tools. I know some stylists think that commission salon owners are greedy and that they're ripping them off by keeping all of their money, but that's really not true. I mean, it's quite costly to run a commission salon business, assuming the salon is being run like an actual commission shop, because I've seen some commission salons that claim to be commission salons, but they aren't really run like a commission salon because all of the stylists are being treated like booth renters and not really like commission stylists. But that's a subject for a totally different show, because if a commission salon is being ran that way, that's totally not correct. Now, the owner of an actual commission salon is responsible for keeping the salon stocked with products, paying all the bills, paying for advertising, paying for marketing. And believe you me, marketing is not cheap. Now, thank goodness we have social media now that gives you the ability to do some free marketing with sites like Facebook, Instagram, and other sites. Now, there's a lot of responsibility required and a lot of expenses that comes with owning a commission salon. Now, personally, I love the freedom that comes along with being a booth renter, but I simultaneously liked the lack of responsibility that came along with being a commission stylist. But I liked my freedom a whole lot more, so booth rental style salons always won out for me. Now, I'll talk about my salon ownership days in another show, because I've owned two salons and those were very interesting times. Now, also keep in mind that if you prefer booth renting and then you decide to move to another state, you want to make sure that you check with the state that you're moving to make sure that booth rental is legal in that state, because I've heard that there are some states that actually don't allow booth rental. Now, I remember some years ago, the IRS was considering making booth rental illegal as a whole, but that idea never really went anywhere. And I'm assuming it didn't go anywhere because I'm not sure what type of authority the IRS has when it comes to state by state, telling a state what they are required to do or not to do. And one of the reasons why the IRS was looking at making booth rental illegal is because they know that most stylists, no, I shouldn't say most, they know that stylists, or some stylists that booth rent, don't report all of their income. It's so easy to hide money as a booth renter, especially if you're receiving cash payments. Now, it's a lot more difficult if you have a credit card system set up, because usually the third-party credit card provider sends the IRS a 1099 on your behalf, letting them know how much money you brought in from credit card sales. But when you're getting paid with cash, the IRS has no way of tracking that. So they were trying to crack down on non-paying hairstylists by making booth rental illegal. But as I said, that didn't work out. But that's not to say that at some point they may come back and try to make booth rental illegal. And that's one of the reasons why our industry is heavily audited, because we are a cash-based business. And usually if you're a cash-based business, you are on the IRS's radar, because the assumption is always any business that receives mostly cash is more than likely not reporting all of their income, which, you know, in my experience, that tends to be true. And just as a side note, booth renters, you may think that you're getting over by not reporting all of your income, but it usually comes back to bite you when you decide to buy a house or you try to apply for a loan for some reason or another. I've also seen stylists who work well into their 60s and sometimes even into their 70s, and they can't retire because not only did they not save for retirement while they were working, they either didn't file their taxes at all or they reported as little income as they possibly could. And now, in addition to not having any retirement income, their Social Security income is next to nothing because they barely paid into Social Security by not reporting a decent amount of income when they filed their tax return. So keep that in mind when you're holding back on the IRS. Okay, good people, that's all I have time for today. Once again, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for taking the time out of your day to listen to today's show. And if you would like to be a guest on the show to share your successes or not so successful stories, please feel free to email me at Desiree@AndersonAccounting3.com, or you can give me a call at 404-300-3175. Have a great day, everyone.